Welcome to Everybody Can, a conversation about volunteers and volunteer opportunities in Jefferson and Clallam counties. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen, career counselor and committed community volunteer. Our show is inspired by the words and spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King, "Everybody can be great because everybody can serve." We bring you information about the people who volunteer, serve on boards, donate, and sometimes just show up to help build what King called a beloved community. And indeed, this region reflects a beloved community in the number of folks engaged in community serving. This year, we've had the wonderful opportunity to talk to a huge range of folks. And for this episode, we're considering the best of. While not really a reflection of the best of what is happening in the volunteer community, this episode endeavors to look at the range of ways community engagement and volunteer involvement can be expressed. We've had the good fortune to hear the stories and aspirations of folks wedded to the notion of giving and serving others. And in reflecting on this past year, I've noticed a pattern in serving. In general, one can find themselves intimately engaged with impacting a person's life or giving in a community-minded way, potentially without understanding who that service actually touches. We have folks that participate in volunteerism that connects with their personal grief to an action that changes their life and gives them a sense of comfort and empowerment in very dark times. We talk to folks who thrive when connecting one-on-one with simple gestures and supporting arms, the more intimate connections through volunteerism. And then there are those who connect with the community for the sheer joy of sharing a passion, a shared interest, or simply to connect to their community for a sense of belonging. So this episode simply highlights those characteristics that inform and drive persons to volunteering in this incredible community of Port Townsend. So the first episode I wanted to highlight talks about community impact. And as I consider that notion of community impact as a reflection of part of volunteering, I'm reminded of the episode Pickin' Produce with Our Pals. It's the Quimper Community Harvest Gleaning Crew. Listen in as Seth Rolland and Doug Van Allen tell us a little bit about the community impact they make. Part of the inception of what we call gleaning in this area, could you help our listeners understand a little bit about what does gleaning mean? You know, what is the definition of gleaning?
Right. So gleaning basically is the harvesting of excess or unwanted food. Traditionally, it was people being allowed into farmers' fields after the commercial harvest was done. And at a certain point, picking the very last of something is no longer commercially viable, but there's still food there. And so folks would be allowed into the field to pick for themselves.
And so when you came to the area, at what point did you become involved with the organization? Or you're one of the founders, do I understand that?
Yes, I moved up here from northern New Mexico, where there wasn't a lot of free food falling to the ground, much drier climate. And I moved here and saw lots of food just falling on the ground unused. And kind of full circle being on the radio here, I heard a hour-long radio show on KUOW where they were interviewing Gail Savina, who worked for Solid Ground, which is a anti-poverty group in Seattle. And she had started a fruit gleaning organization there that went around and picked excess fruit and took it to food banks mostly. And it sounded like a great idea and something I could do with my kids. And it
Is really cool.
Yeah.
So you created something out of nothing, but you stood on the platform of an existing organization that sounds like it's a national franchise or Solid Ground.
I think is a Seattle-based group, but there are gleaning groups all across the country.
And just to kind of give us an overarching,
there have been a few instances where the gleaning group has expressed an interest in knowing how to manage fruit trees. And so we've had an annual fruit tree clinic, and we try to go back to orchards that we've picked and maybe do a pruning workshop or something like that.
Yeah. Karen Page offers through our group, a free pruning workshop to all our gleaners and all our tree owners every year. And so our hope is that even if you bought a property that has a plum tree and you don't like plums, that you will see it as part of the community orchard and that it's helping the community and that you'll still care for it.
Yes.
And so part of the goal is getting people to value trees that might produce 10 times more than they want, not cut it down and plant a dwarf, but to see it as something that helps everybody out.
You know, the thing about volunteering, I just love talking to the range of folks that you have the opportunity to either jump into something that's been codified and structured, or like you, Seth, you came and you heard something and said, I can do this, and it fit with your, I don't know, your values, with including your kids. But you also enrich people's lives by helping them learn by providing these workshops as well. And the training, I'm impressed that you also provide training. So this is a great example for people to kind of think about how they might create a community giving opportunity through things that they might be interested in. One tends to think about urgent or emergent needs when thinking about volunteerism. Homelessness and affordability is a pressing topic in this community, and our episode on Habitat for Humanity came to mind. A new homeowner and volunteer, Deb, for the past dozen years after financial changes left her in an economically fragile state, if not for this organization, would be homeless, is now a part of the working organization of Habitat for Humanity, and volunteering, serving others. She truly evokes the contagion of giving and receiving. In this clip, we learn how she came to not only have a home, but gave back in far greater measure. Now, I'm curious about the ability to build, and Deb has just put on her building wings and gone, but there are other people that come alongside with Deb to build this home. Our volunteer basis is what we're thinking about. Deb, can you recall some of the number of people who came through? Was it with a group of, I don't know, office workers or friends? Did you have to recruit people to help you?
There's a lot of people who are just part of the regular rotation of volunteers, and there could be days where there are a dozen or more volunteers, and then other days where there's fewer than that. It was a great opportunity to meet people, for me especially, I otherwise would not have met, and from every aspect of life that you could imagine.
I would venture to guess you made new friends for a lifetime.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a true expansion of the sense of community, without question.
Interesting. Can you talk a little bit more? Like, is your home grouped with other homes?
Yes. Or? My home is in the Birkenfeld community, which is 12 homes and a park that was developed. I know. Nice little play set and everything.
I love it.
That was developed by Habitat. I believe it's the first time that Habitat has done an actual community in that way.
In Jefferson County.
I see.
First and only.
So they've been typically developed as standalone units, but this time you grouped a whole group?
Yeah.
And so that does kind of, everybody's, how many homes are completely built in this location at this time?
11 of the 12 homes are finished.
And so you're all kind of arriving at the same time, too? Or was it staggered?
It's very
been
staggered.
Since 2015.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
People have been getting homes in there.
And So have you moved in?
Yes. And I just finished moving in this week.
Oh, my goodness. And everyone, I'm sure you had, did you have some kind of housewarming ceremony?
I had the most amazing dedication ceremony. It just amazing is about the only thing to say.
Pretty touching,
yes,
huh?
Very, very much so.
Can you tell us a little bit about it without, you know, sobbing?
I was really overwhelmed by the number of people who came out to show their support and to share their joy. It's a very exciting thing. It's enough to be happy within yourself about something like this, but to be able to share that and have others come and share that with you, it truly is very overwhelming.
You really do express that community connectedness that comes out of volunteerism, whether you're a recipient or a partner, and you happen to be both.
Yes.
Now, do I understand you're going to still stay connected to the Habitat for Humanity organization in other ways?
I am, for sure. I have my own tool belt, for starters. Woo-hoo! So have tools will work.
All right.
I really do enjoy that construction aspect of things, both the process of the building and being among a group of people who are part of changing the lives of each other and other people.
And Tess, you said, you know, one of the things that... If you're just tuning in, this is KPDZ 91.9, and you're listening to The Best of Everybody Can, reflecting on the episodes of 2019. I love doing this show. For myself, engagement is a bit about impact, deeply rooted in relationships. Sometimes, though, that can be a bit sticky and overwhelming. I loved interviewing the folks with the Olympic Angels, formerly known as Seattle Angels. I think this organization offers something in the middle area where one can have that impactful relational engagement, you know, that one-on-one experience, with the framework of more of a project-based commitment. It's a great org. Here's a little soundbite about their primary work and how the smallest of gestures can have such systemic and societal impacts. What is Seattle Angels' primary focus of support to foster care communities? What does Seattle Angels really target?
Seattle Angels and Austin Angels, all of National Angels, is about wrapping healthy relationships around children and caregivers in foster care. What that looks like is really how do we take all of us, the people that are not fostering, and use all of our talents and interests to wrap around the families that are fostering so that we can actually come alongside them in their work.
So simply said, the foster care parent, this is an organization that supports foster care providers and the foster care recipients, but not necessarily the foster care people themselves. Is that correct?
No. What Angels is about is supporting. We know that the majority of foster parents close their beds, close their homes, stop being foster parents within 1 year of opening. And the average child in foster care gets moved 7 times in 2 years. And we know that those have massive detrimental effects mm-hmm. on our youth and on our families because they don't feel like they're not being successful as foster parents. And our youth are getting moved. Your development moves back 6 months every time you get moved into a new primary caregiver. And so looking at that and looking at also the outcomes of foster care, where 2% of our youth, all of our youth, can get free college education, state college education, and only 2% actually end up going to college. The teen pregnancy rates and the incarceration rates and the drug abuse rates are astronomical. So looking at those outcomes and saying, what can we do to support them? And so it's getting in there with foster children and youth, with foster families, with their biological children, wrapping around that household and saying, what can we do with you, for you, alongside you? How can we walk alongside and ensure that you feel supported, that your children feel supported, and that this is a successful experience? Because we know that we're all responsible for these children, and how are we showing up for them?
Bo, that's a powerful statistic when you think about the retention rate. And so this organization is really targeting how can we, you know, retain the infrastructures that are in place. So Morgan, what are some of those tangible assets or structures or activities that is a wraparound support for foster care? What does that look like?
Through Angels, we've developed 2 programs. One is called Lovebox, and Lovebox takes an existing group. So a lot of times it's like a church group or a book study group or a group of friends, somewhere from 6 to 12 people, and they form them as a group to walk alongside one family for 1 year. That group gets matched with a local fostering family, and then that group starts looking at ways that they can come alongside that particular family throughout the year. What Bo was talking about, they call it holistic family support. You're not just there for the foster youth, the child that is in foster care. You're also there for the parents. You're there for the biological kids if they have biological kids in the home. And the reason for that is because we know that if the foster mother is not doing well, they're not going to stay fostering. If the dad isn't doing well, they're not going to stay fostering. If they had already had a child and then they brought in a child through foster care and their biological child is not doing well, they're not going to stay fostering. The whole concept is that if we can take a real support group and just start showing up for this one family, what difference does that make in their likelihood to stay fostering, to take good care of the children when they come into the home, to meet their own needs so they can continue to foster? It's a huge learning curve to become a foster parent. I think that's something that so few of us can imagine because so few of us choose that role. That when we really start coming alongside a family and listening to what's happening and what their learning curve is, we start realizing the ways that we individually can help them, just like we would family. But it's very intentional. And the whole concept is to really support the family so they can keep doing this vital work.
The Love Box, where a group of people come together and support for a year or more if they choose. Is it anonymous?
Do they have a relationship with a foster family?
Everything's about relationship. Yeah, oh, there is nothing about it that's anonymous. Wow. So it has to be something that both the foster family is comfortable with, and that's something they want, that they're looking for that kind of community, and also that the volunteers are looking for real relationships. This is not, we give every kid a bike because we like bikes. This is about what do these children need at this moment. And we do it in three ways. We do relationship building. Everything is about relationship. It's relationship building with the mother. It's relationship building with the children. The other piece of it is intentional giving. So we do look at ways that we can bring care packages to the family. So right now we have a foster family that's going through transition with school starting again. Well, we have a meal train going for them. So they have about 3 weeks of meals being delivered to their door right now. Okay, so okay. Intentional giving, relationship. Yes. And mentorship. So this absolutely is a mentorship program. So volunteers in the program absolutely are mentors to children in the home. And also, I would say, to the parents as well.
Yeah. I thought it a fitting way to end this episode of Everybody Can, a compilation of the best of, with the oh-so-wise words of a young woman all of 18 years old, a recent recipient of the Kiwanis Teen Leader Award. Every year, the Kiwanis organization selects compelling and inspiring youth who are involved in community service. This young woman we are about to hear from has been volunteering for 6 years, 5 days a week in the past 3 years, nearly a third of her life. What would you say to them to encourage them for the feedback on this? You know, why is it so good for folks to be coming involved?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I know. So I'm sitting across from you and I'm thinking, you know, gosh, Sophia, how do you do it and why do you do it?
I do it because I like the feeling afterwards. It's like, whoa, I just did something amazing for somebody else.
Mm.
It's my just recompense of reward, because even though you may not be getting a reward that second, it will come back and reward you later in life.
This episode of Everybody Can was a compilation of the best of those characteristics of those folks who commit their time to community. I hope it inspired you to consider a way that you could get involved today. Thank you for listening, and thank you for being with us this past year. Everybody Can is a production of KPDZ 91.9. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen. Our program today is in the expert hands of our sound engineer, Jared Dufresne, who went through many files to make this one happen. I'd like to thank our programming manager, Larry Stein, as well, and all of the incredible volunteers that work hard to bring eclectic music, local news, and conversations to us here on the North Olympic Peninsula. You can also join us on the web at kptz.org. Make it a great year. Get involved. And thanks for listening.